This is an Ant Podcast Management production. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast. I'm Amy.
And I'm Nick.
On this podcast, we don't subject you to a boring slideshow of what we did on our holiday.
Or a painful lecture on what visa or COVID documents you need.
Through friends and experts, we learn, challenge and explore our way around the world.
And we take you along for the ride.
What are we talking about today then, Nick?
Today, we're talking about DNA heritage.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard.
Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of What the Faux. This is part two of our DNA results episode. So if you haven't listened to part one, then go back because we revealed our DNA heritage results to you and ourselves. And we attempted to play nationality bingo.
I feel like I'm doing another COVID test. Great, I think we just send them off now and find out our DNA.
Number 15, young and keen.
Don't say that about 15-year-old guys. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I can hear it in your voice.
I'm actually cool. That was definitely our least organised game. I think we were just so caught up in the results, weren't we?
It was too exciting. If anything, that proves that we were just so excited about our results.
Yeah, in hindsight, I don't think we even needed a game. We, like...
Didn't need it.
To be fair, we didn't know it was going to tell us in video form. It was a very chaotic moment.
But should we just have a quick, brief recap of our results? And then we've now done a bit of research to try and make sense of these results.
Yeah, so as we're recording this now, it's been several months since we received our results because, as you will find out later on in the show, we have travelled to some places that we share DNA with, which was fun. And like Nick just said, we have done some research, so we're a bit more clued up on who we are, aren't we? Do you feel like you know yourself, Nick?
Yes. Oh, I know myself a lot more. It is interesting. I know I've joked before that I don't think this stuff really matters that much, like as a person for where you're going in life, but it is interesting. But yours especially, Amy, you are a woman of the world. So do you want to briefly go through your results and then give us some research, give us some facts?
Absolutely, yeah. So I found out that I am 85% English, in my opinion. That's the boring bit. I mean, I knew or thought I was English before. Next up, I'm about 6% North African, which was such a surprise. That one I'm actually... most proud of, I'd say. I'm 5% Eastern European. I already knew that because I knew my family background was Romanian Gypsy. I'm also Finnish, 1.4%. And the biggest surprise of all, I am 1.3% Nigerian. Very cool. Like that one just blows me. That's the most surprising. And yeah, again, very proud.
So have you done a bit of research into your North African ancestors?
I have. I mean, I shouldn't take full credit for this since it was just on the DNA website that we got the test of. But I thought it was particularly interesting because I thought the Eastern European bit, I understand because I know I'm Romanian and I know that obviously gypsies travel. So I'm really not surprised that I have such a varied, if I thought about it properly before, I wouldn't be surprised that I have such a range in my background.
Yeah.
But what is surprising is that I'm North African, but also Nigerian. So what area do you call Nigeria? Is that like...
West Africa.
Oh, that's West Africa. Yeah. Okay. So there was a little paragraph on the DNA website and I thought it was really interesting. So I'm going to read it to you.
This is always a podcaster's worst nightmare, to read something but sound natural. So even though we know you're reading, but Amy, give us your best impression of just making it up as you go along.
Oh God, now I'm... thinking about the reading rather than what I'm saying. This is pressure.
Everyone knows you're reading. Just go for it.
Okay. While migration to North Africa tended to be from east to west, both Arabic and Berber traders were heavily involved in the thriving Trans-Saharan trade, which brought gold, ivory, and slaves north and carried salt, cloth, and Islam south. This may account for traces of West African genetic ethnicity in some North African individuals. So that's me. I'm both North African and Nigerian at the same time. just that sentence. I'm so proud. I can say that sentence and it's true for it's crazy. The Berbers also occupied much of Spain and Portugal for almost 800 years. Even though they were expelled from Iberia in 1492, there are still traces of North African ancestry in people across Spain, Portugal, and the Canary Islands, and vice versa. Now, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because although my dad hasn't done one of these DNA tests, my cousin on my dad's side has. And through his mum, and we kind of made a connection together that my dad is most likely Iberian, but I just didn't pick up that part of the DNA from him. I can't remember if we said this on part one, but basically it's hard to explain since I'm not a scientist myself. But basically you have 100% DNA, right? You get 50% from mum, 50% from dad, but you don't get 50% of their 100%. So for example, my dad is Iberian, but I just didn't get that particular DNA from him. It wasn't like I got half of that part of his DNA. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, some stuff gets left behind.
Exactly. So you can find that your parents are different from you. So basically, yeah, I know that the Romanian background with the Gypsies, they traveled. I know with the North Africans and the Berbers, they traveled in the Trans-Saharan trade. And I just think that's so cool. Like all these different people throughout time have been traveling, having sex, and I'm the result of it. I'm just so proud. Well done for having sex, grandparents.
For traveling and having sex with lots of people from different regions. But that is, I mean, that is what we're supposed to do, right? We're not supposed to stay in our own little village and share the same genes. We're supposed to spread our seed.
Absolutely. Gross. And actually, something that's just come up in my mind is I'm reading a book called Period. And it's a fantastic book for any woman or man that wants to learn about periods and how your hormones fluctuate throughout the month. It's so interesting. But on the time of your ovulation, or spring, as she calls it in the book, you want to mate. Your body makes you more sociable. So you want to go out and find people to mate with, have sex with, right? So, but actually what I found really interesting is that your body actually wants you to travel further distances because it wants to find DNA that's totally opposite of your own so that you mate with different people. You'll have stronger DNA, stronger immune systems. I just love science of the human body. It's so interesting.
Very interesting. Now for my results, basically it's much simpler. Basically, I'm about a quarter English and three quarters, it's actually Northwestern European. But I can see through some DNA matches on the website that we used, I can see a lot of German relatives. I do know that somewhere back in my family, there was a German surname. So I had suspicions anyway. And maybe this doesn't mean anything, but we've mentioned before, I like visiting Germany. I strangely feel quite at home there. Amy's always joked before we did these tests, she's joked that I'm German. I'm just surprised I'm like three quarters German rather than majority English. But the Northwestern European region, yeah, it mostly includes Germany. It does include places like France, the Netherlands, bit of Austria, Belgium, places like that. But I'm very confident that this part of my DNA is German. And I can tell you why.
Tell us why, Nick.
Well, I can tell you why at least German DNA found its way to England. A more straightforward, more simple explanation than Amy's. But the Anglo-Saxons, right? Group of people. That is a term used historically to describe any member of the Germanic people who from the 5th century, after Britain was no longer part of the Roman Empire, to the time of the Norman Conquest, 1066. So between this time period, these people inhabited and ruled territories which are now today part of England and Wales. So no surprise that the DNA gene pool between Germany and England is all a bit mixed up.
Interesting. So does that mean if I'm 85% English, does that mean I'm actually part German? I'm just everything.
Well, again, yeah. What is it to be English? Yeah. Does it mean you're a bit German, a bit Roman, a bit Scandinavian? What even is English? We're all a big mixture of each other. But it's not a big surprise that someone like myself, who lives in the UK, has Germanic blood.
For sure. Right, Nick, grab your coat, grab your passport.
Are we going to Nigeria?
From those clues, surprisingly no. We are on our way to a Nordic country called Finland.
Whee! Terms and conditions apply. Please remember Amy is only 1.4% Finnish.
Ladies and gentlemen, in preparation for departure, please check to see that your seatbelts are securely fastened. The window shades are open.
Heidi was our brilliant tour guide in Helsinki. She taught us all about the history, language, and culture of Finland, as well as how to sauna like a professional. All that content will be on our Helsinki episode coming out soon.
So I recently found out that I am 1.4% Finnish.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. So really, I want to understand, I mean, it can go into the stereotype conversation, which just from the start, we know that not everyone can be put in one box. We understand that. But as a generalization, what are Finnish people like?
Well, there's quite a few stereotypes. One is about that we're not exactly the like small talk nation, or that we don't maybe easily like show emotions. Then there's also like modesty and so on. But a lot of people who also tell this story don't match that stereotype at all. So it's also like a Finnishness talk that we in a way keep reproducing, even though we don't feel like we ourselves are representative of that. But of course, to some things, there's definitely like a grain of truth as well. Another joke during COVID was that we need a large like personal space. So when this term was introduced with like social distancing, the joke here was that, oh, that's what it's called, because we've actually done it for like forever and ever.
Okay, so the two things you said so far is small talk, which I think I agree with, and personal space. I do like my personal space. I've also heard that Finnish people can be quite obedient. Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely a stereotype that we follow all kinds of like rules and regulations, and that you have people waiting even in the night. If it's red light, there are no cars, but you still have people waiting because it's red. So yeah, that is definitely another one of the stereotypes.
Do you have anything that's kind of on, like they say that German people like to be on time as well? And I think that's quite true for English people. Would you say that's true for Finnish?
Oh yeah, because that's another kind of rule following thing, to be on time. So yeah, that goes straight into that stereotype. Yeah.
So to sum up, that's another thing. Am I a rule breaker, Nick?
Yes. This part of you isn't Finnish.
When I was younger, I was late for everything. I say that I was even late being born. I was 2 weeks late.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think I'm not Finnish in that sense. And I have a sense the next thing we're going to talk about, I won't be Finnish either. Because isn't rock and metal music quite big here?
It is. So I've heard that we are number one per capita in like hard rock bands. Wow. And we have quite a few of them, and a huge festival summertime as well called Tuska, which means pain.
Oh, that sounds very rock metal kind of vibe.
So do you know why there are so many heavy like rock metal bands? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's hard to speculate in that, but maybe it is like one kind of outlet.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. If you live your life being obedient, follow the rules, you know, stay quiet, you need to let that energy out somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Nighttime, you become this different person.
In Finland, you have a big reputation for having some of the happiest people in the world.
Yes, that's something that 5 years in a row we've been, according to research and the Global Happiness Index, the happiest people on Earth. So yeah, that's we've gotten quite a lot of attention for it now.
Now, we won't go into detail about this Helsinki trip just yet, because that's coming out on the episode and we don't want to spoil anything. But basically, we did have a very good time, didn't we? You loved it in particular, I think.
I'm jealous that you're Finnish. I want to be Finnish.
We can have it. Actually, if we have kids, I can pass it on to our kids. And then
they can get me a passport.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can be a true Finn. like you've always dreamed. So yeah, we're not going to reflect on the trip too much, but let's go straight into talking to the local people there, because we want to know what it really means to be properly Finnish.
How could we get all the way to Helsinki without sweating our asses off in a sauna?
So while Nick was half naked in the men's section, he decided to get a little cozy with two new friends.
Oh, my name is Ewald.
Hi, my name is Sauli.
So Sauli, I'll start with you. I think I got that wrong. I'm sorry. You are local. You are from Finland. What do you think local people, Finnish people, what are their characteristics? What are people here like?
I think people are a little bit mysterious, but once you get to know the people, like in the sauna or you sit there, people will start to discuss with you. That's why you get inside the Finnish mentality. We might see shy at first, but we are really friendly for everybody.
And you're not from here, but do you agree?
Yeah, I've actually read the stereotype that Finns don't like small talk, but I've had more initiation of it here than in the Netherlands, actually. Yeah.
Wow, very cool.
So you're from the Netherlands, but do you like living here, or like what do you like about Helsinki?
Yeah, well, I actually moved to Espoo, which is next to Helsinki, and yeah, it's all just really clean, organized, and it's way less crowded than the Netherlands, and you're always close to nature if you want to go there.
So I'm here with my wife. We did a DNA test, and it says that she is 1% Finnish. So how do you think she can be more Finnish?
I think it's good to start to enjoy the winter, enjoy the sauna, and also the nature is really important part of Finnish life. So get together with the nature. So that kind of way you can wake up your 1% of Finland inside you.
So that's toodaloo to Finland.
And hello to Northwestern Europe. More specifically, Austria. But we're speaking to a German person. In preparation for this episode, I have tried to contact an actual relative of mine who is a German person, but they haven't replied, which is rude.
They mugged you right off.
I thought it might be quite nice to, you know, rediscover or a long-lost relative, you know, rekindle a relationship. Well, not rekindle, because there was never one in the first place, but that would have been quite nice to speak to an actual relative. But you know what? I'm not bothered, because we got some great people coming up. In this section of the podcast, some great German experts.
But I know what you mean. Like, on those DNA websites, you wouldn't do the test unless you were interested, right? Like, yeah. We mainly did it to find out our ethnicity. But I don't know. I'd be totally open to people connecting and stuff. But yeah, maybe they just don't get emails. Or maybe they just hate you.
Maybe, yeah. He's probably thought another English person. Like, I've got so many long lost English relatives. But that's what I thought the point of these websites were, to connect with other relatives. But
Do you know how much DNA you shared with him? Because when you get these emails, they're like, oh, you know, you only share like less than 1%. So yeah,
it was about 1.6%.
Oh, that's quite so a lot.
But yeah, and it's...
So that is actually quite a lot compared to... Because like I think with my cousin, my actual cousin from like my dad's side, I think we only share like 8%. Or maybe okay. I'm getting that wrong.
No, that would make sense, because my relative in Germany, it said he's like my fifth or sixth cousin.
Oh, fifth and sixth normally is like 0.5% on my emails anyway.
Okay.
Guys, I don't think Nick's got his facts right, but let's move on.
But he's missed out.
On a press trip to Austria, we were able to speak to one of our guides, Daniel, who is German, funnily enough. Our conversation starts with the differences between North and South Germanic people.
The Northern Germans, maybe it's a prejudice that I am saying or so, but the Northern Germans are like pretty exact and strict in their like conversations and stuff, whereas like the Southern Germans, they're just like, oh, they're still telling a lot of stories and they're not getting to the point and something like that, so they're sound like some kind of fairy tale sometimes, but yeah.
So because you're from the South, you're from Bavaria, what I think is interesting is you have more in common with different countries than you do with your fellow Germans. Is that right?
I must say yes. Yeah, definitely. No, it's just like the Alpine lifestyle that we are sharing all together. Like we're like very close to the border of Austria. It's also kind of the same language that we're speaking. So it's funny because I'm working in Austria. It's only like 1 hour away from where I'm actually from, where I grew up, and our capital is like 7 hours away from my hometown. And like when I'm here in Austria, like the people are always saying, "Oh yeah, the German one," and I'm just like saying, "You know, I'm way closer to you than just like to our capital, for example." Yeah.
Interesting. How can I be more German?
I mean, I've been knowing you for 2 days, and I must say you're a pretty good German already.
Hey, yes, yeah. That's good.
You did a good job. I don't know if you have like German roots or so. I think we have like the same drinking behavior. We both like beer, good beer.
But you haven't seen him in any Lederhosen, or is that Austrian? Or is that Bavarian? Where does that come from?
It is like Alpine dress. It's not exactly only the Bavarian dress or only Austrian dress. It's like we wear it in Austria, in Switzerland, for example, as well, Bavaria. But of course, like every region has its own Lederhosen. It always depends on which kind of region you are in Bavaria. So they have different stitchings in their Lederhosen, and it's always like region wise. Yeah.
Now, do you feel between me and you, Daniel, do you feel there's a connection? Like maybe like a family connection, like brothers or like cousins or nothing?
Now, when I saw you the first time, I was just like, you are actually like looking like my cousin Maximilian. So this is no joke. So you could
be really?
Like, no, it was really, yeah. When I saw him, I was just like, okay, he is actually looking like my cousin Maximilian. But I thought, yeah, okay. I mean, you're from a group from the UK. I'm pretty sure you're not, but you're at least like looking like him. Like
interesting.
95%, I would say.
Wow. Yeah.
That makes sense.
You're not far off because he's 75%. We know okay. The number. But like ever since knowing Nick, I always joked that I thought he was German because of the way he looks. And I mean, I'm being very stereotypical here, but yeah, the whole beer thing, you like drinking beer and you always feel at home in Germany, right?
Yeah, every time we visited, I can't describe it, but I feel at home in Germany. Amy, you just mentioned stereotypes, okay? Now, stereotypes are stupid. We all know this. Mm-hmm. But is it true? Do German people like to be on time?
Yes.
And so I like being on time.
Yeah. He is very serious about being on time.
Yeah. I like being on time.
The people, sometimes they pretend to be relaxed and just like, oh, yeah, I'm a pretty chill guy and I don't care about time. But me for myself, I hate to be late as well. So that's why I called like 5 different people before I came to your place today. I was just like, I'm 3 minutes late. Please
forgive me.
Yeah, please say at the reception that I'm late. I'm so sorry. And then I called the ski guide. I was just like, Paul, you have to pick them up. I don't know what to do with them, like for 3 minutes. And I felt so embarrassed. Because
okay.
I was,
so German people like being on time. Yeah. Now, is it true German people are not funny?
Sore subject.
The Bavarian people are very funny. Like the people in the north, they're very serious.
Yeah. Okay. I think the stereotype that German people are not funny is rubbish.
Yeah.
Every German person we've met is very, very funny.
Except for Daniel.
Goodbye.
Do you think it's important to know like all family, relatives, and where you're from, and
your DNA heritage, is it important, or is it more important who your friends are and your future?
I think both is important. For me, it's also like interesting to know like where you're coming from, because I don't have like a typical German name. My name, for example, is Jewish. My second name, it's Daniel Goldstein. And like everywhere where I'm going to, where I'm coming to, is like first question is, so not all the time, but yeah, very often it's just, so you're Jewish. And so we did some family research as well. And of course there are some Jewish roots, like, but far, far,
way back
in the past. But it's super exciting to know where you're coming from and how diverse like the world is, the people are. And yeah, nobody of our family would actually have thought that we have like Jewish roots, like of course the name, but like so far back. And because we've been living in Germany like our entire life, and like everybody they knew was from Germany, but it was like 600 years ago, like where the Jewish roots are coming from.
Thank you, Daniel. You're a legend. I do feel like we're long lost brothers, actually. I feel the connection.
We do need to get a picture of his cousin so that we can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can see how close. Maybe he was just lying, but we need to see how close you two look.
We'll put it up on Instagram. Yeah, hopefully there is a similarity there, but we'll let the let our listeners decide. While we're speaking all things German, we needed a second opinion. So we spoke to our German friend, Kolja von Meltzer. Good name, right?
Very German name.
You may remember Kolja from our Digital Nomad episode. I wanted to know, in his opinion, how can I be more German? Even though I'm actually more German than him because he's done a DNA test and I'm way more German than this guy is.
Interesting question. Yeah, Nick, how could you be more German? I think there are a few things that you can definitely improve on. The first one is obedience. So Germans love to abide by all sorts of rules and guidelines that are set. And of course, we respect the law, which is a big part of our culture. But when it comes to those weird little rules that Germans just love to obey anyway, even though they don't make sense. If you're walking on an alleyway in the middle of the night and the traffic light turns red, you wait. And you wait until the light gets green again, and then you continue your walk, even though there's no car anywhere to be seen. The next thing would be to hide realism behind pessimism. And what do I mean by that? Of course, that everybody's always saying like, I'm not being negative. I'm not being pessimistic here, but just being realistic, this and this is not going to work. This and this is not going to happen. That's, I think, a general undertone in German culture, to be a little bit pessimistic, but just to make yourself feel a little better about it. Just call it realism or a realistic approach or something like that. I think that is very German. And at last, but definitely not least, one main thing that defines German culture is beer. So, Nick, definitely drink more beer and more wine, especially white wine. Germans love a good Riesling, and Riesling is by no coincidence my favorite wine. So yeah, have a wine of Riesling, have a nice beer, and celebrate your Germanness.
Kolja also delved into the topic of German humor. In the middle, he mentions Schadenfreude.
Good.
That was my German accent, which means pleasure derived from another person's misfortune. Schadenfreude.
I think you're... Let's swap. I'll be Finnish and you can be German.
Yeah,
I definitely do think that Germans are funny, or at least that they can be funny. German humor is very strange. It's a kind of intellectual approach to humor. It is very political oftentimes. There's really no stand-up comedy scene in Germany. I think there's one developing right now in Berlin a little bit because of a lot of different influences in that city. But stand-up comedy is definitely not an integral part of German culture. We do, however, have a carnival, which is very, in my opinion, forcefully funny, but funny nonetheless. Germans are world-renowned for having come up with the concept of Schadenfreude, which is a very German concept, in my opinion. It's not necessarily humorous, but it's definitely, yeah, it goes in that direction, right? And yeah, in general, I would definitely think that German humor is a little bit more on the dark side, like it's more dark humor, basically a little bit like British humor, maybe. At least that is something I know, that British humor and British comedy is very respected in Germany. I think when it comes to humor, it's actually quite similar.
Now we have the ultimate German challenge for Kolja to debust all the stereotypes in the world. Can Germans be funny? Kolja, tell us a joke.
I actually researched one that I thought was kind of funny and that works. Yeah, especially if you speak German, of course, right? So it's about a German guy ordering martinis in an English pub. So the German guy says, two martinis bitte. The waiter comes and says, dry? And the German guy screams at him, says, nein, I said two.
What?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Now, a joke is never funny if you have to explain it, but fortunately, we need the explanation.
Now I needed to laugh myself. Okay, you guys understand it, right? It's because dry is sounds very similar to drei, which means three, but he said two, so zwei. Anyway, it's a joke about language. Fun.
Oh, bless you, Kolja.
I mean, we're laughing now, and I do like it that it what he's done there is, yeah, it's a joke about language and it's a German joke. We're talking about Germany in an English pub. I think he's ticked all the boxes. We're just not intelligent enough to get it. But I'm sure.
Yeah, because we don't speak German.
It's funny.
Yeah, I'm sure the German people out there or German speakers are guessing that. But I think it's fallen on deaf ears. Is that the right way to say it?
But I think we can confirm that German people are funny.
Can we?
I definitely can.
I don't think we can base it on that. Kolja, I love you, but well, it wasn't even his joke. He found it online. So, but no, I do. Kolja makes me laugh in general life. So I think that's more what matters.
Exactly. And Daniel that we spoke to, the time we were in Austria, I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah, we could give good banter to Daniel, I felt. So
and yeah, he could take it.
Yeah, definitely. I think my biggest surprise out of all of this, though, is what Kolja said in the interview about that they don't have stand-up comedy there. I did not know that.
It's just like comedy is just not really a big scene or a big industry.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
That has blown me away because, like, I don't know, I just assumed every country had their own stand-ups. I can't imagine a world without stand-up in, like, it's just such a big part of our lives and our lives watching TV for sure. All the comedians that go around on the circuit then end up on TV, then they're on the panel shows. So yeah, it's a really big part of our culture. I just can't see if you took that away, like half our TV wouldn't be there.
Yeah, there's so many like stand-up comedian panel show, yeah, TV shows. You're right, it's massive in the UK. Do you remember there's a German comedian who I really like?
Yes.
Henning. Something. But he moved to the UK and he you know, he lives and works here as a comedian. But maybe that's why, because there wasn't the scene back in Germany.
Isn't it Henning Wen? Is it Wen?
Yes.
Yeah, it's W-E-H-N.
He's hilarious. He does all his comedy in English, of course, because he lives in England. Is it funnier because he has the accent and but he's talking in English? If he went home to Germany, would he get as many laughs? I don't know, but he's hilarious.
He's great. Yeah, big recommendation from us. Right, so we're coming to the end of the show, so I feel like we need to reflect on our trips. Like, you go first, Nick. How do you feel when you go to, like, Germanic or kind of northwestern Europe now? Do you feel any different? Do you have a special connection with the countries?
Oh, you know, what a journey we've been on with this episode over months to get to this point. Yeah, like, I've always, and we joke about it, whether I'm making it up in my head, but before I knew these results, I've always weirdly felt at home in these European countries, they're kind of almost kind of central, western slash northern, that part of Europe. I've always enjoyed going there, but particularly Germany. I've always felt some connection with it. And it still feels the same. It hasn't got any greater or smaller because of what we've been doing, because of these tests. It's just still there, but it always was. And it's something I've never been able to explain, but maybe I can explain it now. And the fact that it's such a high percentage of my DNA is from that part of the world, then yeah, like maybe it's no surprise that I do feel at home and I do like these places. So has this changed the way I feel about that part of the world? No, but that's because my feeling was strong already. And I've always enjoyed going to Germany. I think I've been maybe 3 or 4 times and to different parts of Germany, always loved it. And I'm looking forward to, you know, many more trips in the future, hopefully.
Very nice.
Thanks. How about you? So, you know, let's reflect. I know there's many countries that where you're from, and we have visited most of them, just not Nigeria. But our trip to Finland, let's reflect on that and how that made you feel.
Yeah, I mean, how long have you got? Because I've got a while to get through all of them. I think as much as I like, let's start with the smaller percentages. So yeah, like you said, Nigeria, we haven't been, but I would really love to go. Lagos has been on my list actually for a while because we watched a documentary about it a few years ago. And I thought, wow, that looks like a really interesting place. I'd really love to go. So now that it is part of my DNA, I feel like we're almost certainly going to go. I'm not sure when, but we will. Moving up the list, so I'm 0.01% more Finnish. So we've been there now, which is very cool. I want to say I felt a connection. I'm going to be honest, I didn't. I didn't feel anything different. Like it was a great trip and I enjoyed it, but I didn't feel any particular connection. I mean, I'm grabbing at straws if I say, oh, I've always loved sauna and spa culture, but who doesn't, you know, like most people like that. I don't think that's got anything to do with my DNA. Moving up the list, Eastern European. That I do feel like I have a connection with. I think I look quite Eastern European. When I was at uni, I had a lot of Polish girls in my class and they actually kind of brought me into their clan one day. I will never forget because they were like, oh, you look like a Polish girl. Like you look like one of us. And that always stuck with me. And I think I do. I do look Eastern European. So that's the Romanian background. We went to Romania a few years ago because I knew someone had written a book about my family. So I knew I was Romanian. And I did feel a connection, particularly with gypsy people. I have this like natural wanderlust inside me. And I really do think that's my wandering background in my blood. I think that's really cool. Moving on to the North African. Yeah, I mean, Morocco has always been in my top 3 favorite countries. But on the flip side of that, Egypt is also North Africa. And I do not like Egypt. I didn't have a good time there at all. So I don't know. I do think the Eastern European, but maybe that's because I've known about it for a while. But basically, it's hard to say if you've got a connection or not. I know I have a connection with England. I've grown up here. It's who I am. It's in my blood. It's in the way that I've been raised. It's in my humor. I really do feel English. And in the past, I think I've been a little embarrassed to say I'm English. And I do think sometimes I say like, oh, it's boring. But that's just because it's what I know. It's what I've grown up with. Other people think it's exotic. Maybe. So yeah, I think the 1%ers in my DNA, I think there's a no connection as far as I'm aware, but maybe 5% and upwards, there's a cutoff and you feel like that's a connection. I don't know.
Yeah. But everything you've said where you feel like you have a connection, like it makes sense for your small ones. They're only a tiny percentage. My German connection that I feel is 3/4 apparently of my DNA. So it's no surprise.
He's bigger than Kolya's and he is German. He grew up there. He sounds German. He speaks German.
Interesting. What a journey we've been on.
This is great. We've been wanting to do this for years. So I'm really happy we've done this.
Really happy. And we would recommend anyone does it because it's good fun. But also we think these tests are a great way to play a part in eradicating racism because anyone that does these tests, you'll soon realize no one is 100% of anything. We're all a mix of each other. So when we obsess about you're different from me. I belong to this group. You belong to that group. That means we're different. Different religions, different skin colors. It's all a man-made thing. It's not a real thing. We're not actually different. We're all the same.
Absolutely. And we always say that the only time that the world and Earth is going to come together as a clan is if we're invaded by something else, whether that's aliens, someone from another planet. Because if you have England and France want to fight them, then it's one against the other. But then if it's like, I don't know, Australia want to fight Europe, then us and France are together. So you always need this like outer group to come in to unite you, right? So yeah, the only way we're going to come together. What a happy ending this episode is.
Alien invasion.
We need an alien invasion to become friends. There
I'm
we
glad
go.
We've I'm glad we've learnt that through these two episodes. That's the takeaway.
Right, guys, you need to get off. I'm sure you're very busy. You're about to go on the DNA website to book your test and get it sent to your house. We'd really recommend it. Like we said, it's something we've wanted to do for years. We've bloody enjoyed, haven't we?
We have. Was that an Australian accent? You're not any Australian. You're not Aboriginal. Yeah, it's been good fun. Thanks, guys, for coming on this journey with us. Let's know about your journey, please.
Yeah, get in touch via our email, whatthefaupodcast@gmail.com, or just head to Instagram and find us on there.
See you next time, guys.
Thanks for listening. Well done for having sex, grandparents.
Before we wrap this up, we've got a question for you.
Is your boy Tarquin going on a gap year?
Is your gal pal Rachel off to eat, pray, love herself silly?
Then the best way to support this show is to share it with all your travel buddies.
Thanks. Bye.